I didn't want to do this sermon. As a matter of fact, I still don't want to because I don't think it's going to come out right. So yes, today I'm arguing with God a little bit. And He wins. He makes me mad sometimes because He does it in such a way that I still really firmly believe that God has a sense of humor. And if you don't believe me, I still want somebody to explain why He created giraffes. Turn in your Bibles to Job, Old Testament. Job chapter 2, the first 11 verses. The name of this sermon is called Instantly. And it's funny how things go. I told you, when the idea hit and I started to lay it out, it just wasn't quite working. And so today when I came in, I had my pile of mail, and as I was going through it, Bud and I were standing there looking at it. Of course, the messenger, Church of the Brethren newsletter here, laying on my desk, and I opened it up, and I instantly opened it to an article called Job's Encounter with God. So I will be preaching the sermon today. Tell me he doesn't have a sense of humor. Instantly we change. Instantly he moves. Instantly. Job chapter 2, first 11 verses. We're into it in Job's second test. Job had been strong and full, and now he's changed. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my certain servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." And so Satan went from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat amongst the ashes. And his wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." And he replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Would you please pray with me as we seek his blessing on this morning's message? Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds and pull us forward. Breaking open this bread of your word, lighting us up with it, Father. Let us learn from this. Let this be your sermon and give us the strength to understand it, accept it, learn, grow, and take it from here, being the disciples that you want us to be. Let us breathe your word out that the world may know us as Christians and may learn from us and see from us, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
There is a full
head.
I'm going to steal your backup bottle.
I can't seem to stay lubricated up here for some reason today. I'm dried out. Must be too much talking to myself from being home alone. Instantly. Yes, it happened. I was watching TV late at night again. Me and that stupid idiot box. And as always, I am drawn to infomercials. I can't stay away from them. I'll be flicking through there, and you'll see these guys come on there, and yes, this amazing new gadget right here. They make a saw that cuts cars in half. You ever seen that saw on the television set? That man climbs on top of a car and cuts it in half with a handsaw. Oh, do I need that? I'm watching. And I'm looking at all the different things. And one caught my attention and made me laugh out loud. And I can't remember the name of the product, and I'm not going to say it even if I could, but the sucker in me started to slip for just a moment when this woman comes on there, and she's holding this bottle and a rag, and she goes, "Do you have a problem with unsightly hair on you?" And I went, "Yes!" I mean, no! She goes, "This new hair remover smells like watermelon and citrus." And I was like, "Okay." And she goes, "Now watch this man as we spray it on him." An handsome guy there in shorts with hair on his legs, and she sprayed it, and she took the rag and wiped the hair magically away from his leg. I said, "I wouldn't have to shave." And she said these words, and it hit me. She goes, "It will instantly transform your life." I went, "All right." Instantly transform your life. Like me not having hair on my legs is going to change things. Instantly. And then suddenly, it was like that was the key, and everything around me started becoming instant. The next night, I made a big fat steak on the grill. Went in the pantry and pulled out what? Instant mashed potatoes. I had mashed potatoes. And I stood in the closet for a minute looking. We've got instant brownie mix, instant pudding mix, instant coffee, instant hot chocolate, instant this, instant that. Instantly transforms from this to that. So I started looking around even more. I got this phone. I got a new phone. See this thing? And it's turned off, so it will not ring. It's got a camera. It can go on the internet. I had to get it because I stepped on my old one. And 400 pounds on a cell phone will break them in half every time, let me tell you. But when I bought this thing, it said, "Instantly connect with anyone in the world." So I'm waiting to see if that'll happen. We're instantly in need. Everything's got to be right now. Everything's got to be instant. And we look at the world as instant. And then I started reading Job, and I started to realize what God meant by instantly. That's a tough book. We have been chatting about it a little bit at the end of Bible study. Some people still won't read. "Oh, it's too hard to read. It's too difficult. It's an ugly book." Yeah, it is. For a while. But it's a powerful book. And it shows what happened when God is instant. Instantly. I didn't want to preach this sermon because it takes me back in time to a day I kind of want to forget. When instantly He removed Himself from me for a moment. A moment. And it changed. Job is one of these books that is very hard to read. It's a book in the Bible that a lot of people... Do you know how many books are written on the books of Job? Thousands. I went online and started reading summaries about what people thought the book of Job meant. I read 10 different summaries and I got 10 different answers. But the bottom line is all the same. That with God, you are instantly saved. Without Him, you are instantly lost. Let's look at Job. We got to go back to the beginning. You might as well swing back to chapter 1. And we'll do a quick run over of it. It talks about who Job was. In the land of Uz, was Job. And he was blameless. He was upright. He was strong. He would go and do his purifications. He would sacrifice on behalf of his children. And he did it regularly. It talks about what he had. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people in the East. The greatest man. Blameless, upright, strong in God. Until we read on, Satan comes to him. Same thing, where have you come from, old boy? And Satan says, I've been out walking around on the earth, Father. He says, have you considered my servant Job? There is nobody blameless among him. There's nobody like him. And Satan says in verse 9, does Job fear God for nothing? Can you just see him being smart like that? Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You've blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So he does it. He says, don't hurt him. Don't touch him. Don't lay a finger on him. Do whatever else you want to do. And then we read, messenger after messenger comes by. The oxen were plowing in the field, and the Sabaeans attacked, and they carried him away, and killed everybody else by the sword, and I'm the only one that got free. And while he was speaking, another messenger came. The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and servants. I'm the only one who has escaped. And while yet another one, the Chaldeans formed a raiding party and took your camels away and put servants to the sword, and I'm the only one to escape. And the final messenger came forward and said, your sons and daughters, verse 18, were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert, struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. And I'm the only one escaped. Instantly changed. Tested. Brothers and sisters, you've been instantly tested. It happens. There's nothing you can do to get away from it. Because for as much as you belong to God, for as much as you have professed your salvation, for as much as you want to be in that realm, you are still beset by Satan. Testing you. We all know the stories. Funny looking guy, red suit, horns, carries a forked tail. That ain't him. He's that quiet little voice. Hey, look, they gave you an extra $10 at the grocery store. She miscounted giving you your change back. Oh, they'll never know. That's a big corporation. Walk out. Hey, look, there's a wallet lying in the middle of the road full of all kinds of good stuff. They lost it. Yours. You don't need to give it back. Hey, that girl in the office has been giving you the eye for quite a while. Go over there and flirt with her. You won't get in no trouble. Testing, so that in an instant you will be changed. Instantly. Everything was going by the very will of God. And yet what did we read? Even when we got to the end of end of the second chapter, there at the 10th verse, we read, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? That is a very powerful statement. So what are you going to do? You're going to praise God when things are going good and get mad at Him when things ain't? It happens. It's happening right now. He did not give over to letting go of God. In that moment, he held on. And you need to think about it for a minute. We gloss over that verse. He was covered from here to here with sores. Every inch of his body. And to get the sores down, what did he do? He took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it and then sat in ashes. Yeah, that's it. Make the face because it hurts. I want you to know the pain he was feeling. And by that moment, you would maybe think, why not curse God? I would. He didn't. In this day, when things start to go wrong around you, what's the first thing you start to do? When everything's going wrong, when everything's failing, what's the first thing you look for? Blame somebody. And I see it all the time. Case in point, this past week at work, I was supposed to get a particular load. And so I showed up, and that load wouldn't fit. So they said, take that load, load it in a tanker, come back with another tanker, get this load, and then take that load back down to Baltimore. All right, fine. I don't care. I loaded that load whenever, put it on the parking lot, grabbed an empty tanker, headed back over. On the way back over, called my trailer number in, and the dispatcher at the mill said, Paul, they put the wrong load in the tank, and now you're going to have to wait for somebody to come get that load because it's going somewhere else, and then I'll make another load for you. Okay, well, that's how it goes. You know, instead of taking 15 minutes to load, it took 2 hours. It happens. I didn't really care. I didn't get wound up about it. I got done. I got called up. They said, all right, you can come on up and load now. And I backed in and I walked in there to sign off my tickets and get my paperwork. And I asked the guy loading. I said, hey, what in the world happened? He said, oh, no, that guy up there told me to put this load in. And I put that load in and he was telling me the wrong load. And I even wrote it down, see? But the guy had told me that they had done it wrong. So when everything goes wrong, what's the first thing you do? You look for somebody else to blame other than yourself. It's easily done, isn't it? Right? That guy cut me off in traffic, officer. That's why I threw a hammer at his car. Never done that. Yet. Job wouldn't. Blame himself. You start into that book. You start to read about it. And you see he didn't place blame anywhere. I hear people all around me all the time. My life is miserable. You know, this is going wrong. My wife's a pain. My husband's a pain. My children are a pain. My job's a pain. My house, my car, my existence is a pain. And it's all because of this reason or that reason or the other reason. And I'm a smart aleck. And many of you know it. And I'll look right at him and go, hey, you go to church on Sunday? No. Well, why don't you try it one time? What's that going to do? You might be surprised. Y'all, how many times you hear these words? I can take care of it myself. I can do it myself. It is upon me to take care of me. I am my own person. My wife gets the biggest kick out of me when I start saying that. She says that's half the reason she married me, so she could just walk over after I have made my plans and said, okay, now I'm going to put this here, and I'm going to put that, and this is going to go like that, and I'm going to do this, and this will work out, and everything will go here, and everything will hold together, and then, boom! When it blows up in my face, she's the first one to poke me and go, kaboom! I love my wife. You place the faith in yourself, you're going nowhere. Instantly. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you said that? That's the bigger question. Christians, brothers, sisters, we make that same mistake our own selves. Oh, I can take care of it. Oh, I'm okay. We get so lost in the fact that what is going on right here in front of us, right at this moment, right very now, we lose sight of the fact that we no longer belong to ourselves. We no longer own our own lives. If we're Christians, we were instantly taken away from that. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says these words, praise be to God, chapter 1, verse 3. And Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us, to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us the ones he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of his sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. You don't belong to you at all. Period. Not if you're Jesus' son. Not if you are saved. Not if you have accepted. And so guess what? You can't do anything for yourself. I get so mixed up, I'm surprised I can remember to tie my shoes in the morning. That's why I wear boots. See? No strings. That's how much help I need from him. Any man, any time that God, in that song that we sang, you ever pay attention to the words in it or you just sing it? Above all, crucified, laid behind a stone, lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. He thought of me above all. I love those words. Paul even goes on a little further when he's explaining that we no longer are ourselves. The day we knelt down and the day that we gave over to Jesus and his salvation, we cease to exist and cease to really truly be able to follow our own will. You go on down a little bit further in verse 11. Paul writes these words, "In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be his praise and glory." Brothers and sisters, when he instantly puts you here, when you come out the other side, you can give him the instant praise. That's what it's about. Yes, I was a great man. Yes, I had everything. I had a house. I had 75 cars. I had mowers that mowed grass for my mowers. Took it all away. Showed me what the true riches of this world were. Praise God. I don't need that. Praise God. Instantly. God's will. He plans for us. And so we are given to him to be changed. And we are helped. In Hebrews, we read these words, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." You're in trouble? Instantly pray. You're lost? Instantly pray. I am often asked, and I guess I must be some kind of human cartoon to a lot of people, when I first felt the transformation. And my answer is that I felt it when God let me feel it. And that's the truth. He decided when it was time. And then it was in an instant, and I knew he was there. And I'll tell you, that instant was that October. Instantly. As soon as the words came out of that man's mouth, "Paul, you're fired." And I walked out and called my wife. And in the moments of absolute, utter chaos, the voice came to me and said, "Go pray. Come talk to me. Come talk to me, boy." Instantly, I went there. People look for me for a minute when I try to tell them that, and so I use this explanation. And it's a painful one, but it works because people seem to understand it. I look them in the face, I say, "I felt it when he let me feel it." And they're like, "What?" I said, "You ever get a splinter? You ever get one in your hand, your foot, your elbow?" I get a lot of splinters. And no, it's not because I tell a lot of lies. Just a few. You ever get a splinter and you don't know you have it? When do you finally know? After it's been in there a little while and all of a sudden you're going, "What in the world? Oh, look, I got a splinter." When the time came, you knew it was there. When the time came for me, I knew God was there. Instantly. Instantly. My salvation was right there all along, and when it finally happened, it was instantly, and I changed, and I mean it. Some of the things that I was quite comfortable with, like swearing, meanness, judgment of people, intolerance for people that I didn't think were as strong as I was, are all recognized by me now. I'm so weird now that I cannot hear people around me cuss. I used to use those words. You know what Jerry Clare said about somebody who cusses? That is a sign of a man who's too stupid to pick up a book. That's exactly what he says. I love that saying. All those things are recognized by me now, and while they're not gone, with his help, I keep them away. I'll always be one click away from being that old guy. It can happen instantly. And yet with prayer, he keeps me from overtaking. And so back to Job. He suffered greatly. I advise you to read that book again. And listen to what happened when his friends got there. Oh boy, ain't they a pile of bunch. They settled down and started telling him everything but the right thing. And God is listening. Can you just see it? If you want to be visual, he's sitting up there watching them. I've just about had enough of this. He suffered. His friends are trying to give him comfort, and ultimately they're failing. God, who's listening in, takes control and lets old Job and the boys have it, and have it good. And believe you me, I've been yelled at enough in my life to know what that means. He ultimately tells Job that you can do, Job, that you can do nothing or be nothing or exist in no way ever without me. Turn back to Job in chapter 42 at the end of the book. God has laid it into him. Did you create anything? Can you pull the Leviathan out of the sea with just a simple hook and a string? No! I can. You are nothing without me. You will never be anything without me. And if you listen to these people around you, you're going to fall away. Chapter 42, and then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things, and no plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears have heard you, but now my eyes have seen you. I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And then the Lord, finally. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken to me what is right as my servant Job has. So now take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. And my servant Job will pray for you and I will accept his prayer. On down to verse 10. And Job prayed for his friends, and the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. And all his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him. They comforted him and they consoled him over the trouble the Lord had brought upon him. Verse 12. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. Verse 15. Nowhere in the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them inheritance along with their brother. And after all this, Job lived 140 years, saw his children and their children to the fourth generation, and died old and full of years. Instantly returned. Instantly brought back. Let me change the direction and talk about something that's going to happen here. Instantly. No, I do not, Morgan. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house, puts his servants in charge, each one assigned to his task, and tells one to the door to keep watch. Therefore, watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether it be in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Instantly, he's going to return. The song says, right? And the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth are gathered over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Instantly. That day. Instantly. And I will, and do tell everyone, that Jesus is returning to this earth again. Maybe not in my lifetime, maybe tomorrow, maybe 2 hours from now, maybe before lunch. And for those left behind, life will be changed in an instant as well. For those who have just gone through the motions, it will be changed instantly as well, and it will not be something that you will look forward to. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. Grace and peace be unto you who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Christ Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He's coming back. Instantly. You don't even know when. Instantly. We need to be ready for when it happens. We need to do so by learning that our lives may change every day, here instantly, and with the help of Jesus and the God who loves us, instantly we can get away back to Him. Instantly. We can accept those things that come to us and understand that they are for God's glory, regardless. This is easy to remember. When God calls us to answer Him instantly. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how do we know? How do we know? In what way can you transform us? It's only for you to set our life in motion. Our job is to accept it, praise you, and come forward. Our job, Father, is to learn from it and show others and come forward. Our job, Father, is to see transformation take place, know it, and love it, and use it. You came down to earth in Jesus Christ our Lord. And as was shown time and time again, from the soldier, from the centurion who simply sent a messenger saying, speak it and it will be done. From the woman that touched the hem of your garment, instantly changed. That's us. And the beauty of it is, every day, we get it all over again. Father, lift us up as we go from here and let us show those who need it what awaits them. Strong message, tough words, a lot to think about. I pray that these hearts be open, Father, and that they receive this and go forward today, taking from it a lesson to be learned. In Jesus' precious name, amen.